The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
It's a Reaction Monday, powered by Superbook Sports. Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
Chain-moving catch down to the 22-yard line. They pick up 15 on fourth down. Bridgewater over the middle and a diving attempt and a catch for a first down by Cortland Sutton. Bridgewater keeps dancing in the backfield. Ogunwemadam's got it. Stays on his feet. Lunge for the pylon. Touchdown! A second effort on fourth down from Albert Ogunwemadam. His second career score.
That was just my gut. When I brought it up, I didn't have a lot of backing by anybody. It was kind of cricket-ish, cricket-like. I said, we're doing it. So I just felt like I had confidence in the offense, number one, obviously. Number two, I felt that I knew if we got the first down, we could go get some points. Didn't know it would be 3 or 7, and I thought it was important. And the reason I let it run down to 50, I told the guy at 50, he did it at 48. You know, if we didn't get it, just to take a little bit of time off. And we had 3 timeouts, you know, with 2 following that one. And that was it. It was just more of a gut feeling than anything else.
We'll get to all the fourth downs here in just a heartbeat. We'll get to Bezos owning the Broncos. Hang on. First, our injury report. Your injury report is presented by Spine One, Jerry Judy. High ankle sprain, thank goodness, because it could be way worse, out 4 to 6 weeks. Graham Glasgow stayed back in New York after being evaluated for an irregular heartbeat. Mm. He's expected to return tomorrow. Said he's okay, still a little scary. That's your injury report presented by Spine One, your one-stop shop for neck, back, and joint pain. Talk to me about the fourth downs.
Oh, man, that was the story of the game, wasn't it? Outside of Teddy Bridgewater coming in and just playing phenomenal football, the story of the game for me was Vic Fangio was different. He was aggressive. There was this huge conspiracy theory that I know you were a part of. I'm not letting you out of this. I know you were a big-time part of the fourth down conspiracy.
Yeah, but I was part of it when it came to Drew Locke,
right?
Not if they were going to not do it in the regular season. That's why it confused me a little bit. I was more of the... Why did you let Teddy go for it on fourth down and not Drew Locke? Because that was the whole, we need Brandon McManus to practice field goals.
Well, all I know is there's a huge conspiracy out there that they wouldn't ever do that in real life. So why would they let Teddy Bridgewater do it in the preseason? And I guess they are. I guess they will. I guess they have. They did it 3 times. They were 3 for 3. You know, the one that really stood out by far was you're sitting there on the 48-yard line, 46 seconds to go, something like that, give or take a few seconds.
Yeah.
End of the half, 4th and 2.
Losing. Down 7-3.
I mean, this is a big-time gamble if you go for this. So they come out, they go out there, and I hear Mark Schlereth on the broadcast. He did a great job, by the way.
He did.
I hear him on the broadcast, and he's like, hey, if you're the Giants defense, you got to be telling each other, hey, don't jump. It's going to be a dummy call, right? So the entire purpose of the play is just try to get a free 5 yards, try to get you to jump offsides. And then if you don't jump offsides, the Broncos call timeout, they punt the ball. That's absolutely what I thought was going to happen. 100%, I thought Mark was right. No way did I think Vic Fangio was going to go for it. I don't think I would have gone for it in that particular situation, D-Mac. If you go for it and you don't get it, you just handed the ball to the team on the 50-yard line. They got to pick up 1 first down, maybe 2, and they get 3 points before the half. You want to talk about momentum swing?
Mm.
That's killer. But they went for it. And you know what? Despite the fact that I probably wouldn't have done it personally, I love the fact that Vic Fangio is making a decision that it's not like he's going to go for it on every fourth down, but when he thinks it's realistic, he's going to be more aggressive this year. For sure he's going to be. And you know what it comes down to? Maybe you could go back to the conspiracy theories with Drew Locke if you want to. And maybe it could be as simple as this. We never knew that Vic Fangio wanted to be aggressive because he never trusted his quarterback
before.
Well,
that could be true.
And now that he trusts his guy, this is what he wants to be.
Could be a Billy Joel matter of trust there with Vic Fangio. That is true. Both things could be true. But it was great to see. I'm a huge fan of it. I mean, I've been advocating to go for it on fourth down more often for years and years and years. And Fangio, your gut or analytics?
Is it analytics or is it your gut feeling at the moment?
Gut feeling.
Sure, it's the analytics.
Gut feeling.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Did he mess up at the beginning, or was that intentional?
I don't know. I think I am curious how Melton is, whatever his name is. I forget the guy in his ear there, the analytics dude.
No, you know what?
Sheldon.
Okay. I do believe that analytics.
Sheldon, thank you.
I do believe that analytics are a part of it, and not just because he started to say the analytics at the very beginning, but if you listen to the rest of the response, he starts to break down the rest of the league. He starts to break down Baltimore and how aggressive they were and how it caught up to him in the playoffs. This is a conversation that they've had. Yeah. I mean, he was prepared. He had the knowledge that was there ready based off of the analytics that whatever had been provided to him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's still a gut feeling. You still have to say, do I trust the analytics or not? Do I believe in my team? Do I like the quarterback? Do I like the offensive line?
Yeah.
But analytics have played a role in it, or else he wouldn't even know that information.
Well, I should have asked that today. You know, I'll sniff around while I'm at Dove Valley this week. Did Matt Sheldon, was he in his ear at all? I mean, you know, Fangio said there were crickets on the sideline, but nobody asked him specifically, did Sheldon recommend anything? So we'll dig around it. Okay. Fun rumor of the day on Twitter, on Facebook, Instagram was Jeff Bezos and Jay-Z going in together to buy the Broncos.
Excuse me?
That's the big thing on social media today.
That was the match made in heaven right there, Jeff Bezos and Jay-Z?
Jeff Bezos and Jay-Z combining to buy in the Broncos.
All right. Which thing? All right.
Now, those guys got the money. Well, hey. I don't know where what's Jay-Z's net? Is Jay-Z a billionaire?
Oh, I think so.
Is he really?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know that for a fact, but I mean, that dude's insanely wealthy.
Billionaire, though.
Yeah, I really do think
he is. You think he's a billionaire? All right.
I think so. Wasn't...
$1.4 billion.
$1.4
billion on Jay-Z, huh?
I mean, Dr. Dre became a billionaire with his Beats, right? And I think that was after Jay-Z already was. I don't know. Don't quote my timeline. What was it when Carolina was for sale? Didn't P. Diddy put in an offer for it? Was that Jay-Z? Do you guys remember Behind the Glass back there?
I don't remember.
I think it was Puff Daddy.
I know Peyton Manning was part of the group.
I think it's Diddy.
Diddy's a billionaire? Diddy's a billionaire too, huh?
Well, he tried to buy the Carolina Panthers.
No, I didn't know that. I know Peyton Manning was, Peyton Manning had a group in there together. Anyways, of course, billionaires like Bezos buying an NFL team on the surface makes sense, but I don't know if it's any more than a rumor. But Pat McAfee had fun with it.
Allegedly, Jeff Bezos will be buying the Denver Broncos.
Whoa!
Allegedly. Broncos. I mean, allegedly, the Bezos Broncos are potentially going to be a thing. The Broncos have come out, and they are in the transition process of new ownership, but it won't take place for a certain amount of time because they want a smooth transition. And then it was reported that Bezos is also allegedly interested. So maybe out in Mile High City, Jeff Bezos will buy the team for $4 billion, which is equal to 2% of his net worth. He'll buy an NFL team.
Jeez. And then he'll buy the rest
2%
that division, and then he'll buy the rest of the league, and then all of a sudden we're playing on Mars, dude.
Hold on. I mean, something really just caught me right there. I mean, when he said that's the equivalent of 2% of his net worth,
right?
Why would he not buy the Broncos?
That's right. And the NFL would be crazy not to have him part of it. And frankly, I think he's the best owner the Broncos could get. And I know. There's issues with paying people from Amazon and all that sort of stuff. I get it. But something tells me he'll be running the Broncos if he owned it a bit different than a shipping warehouse in Aurora.
All I know is if I got that kind of money and it cost 2% of my net worth and I just more or less stepped down from Amazon, I'm in a different role, the day-to-day. You know, I've kind of got a new life. I'm freshly divorced. I got all kinds of stuff that is just brand new. 2% of my net worth to go own an NFL football team. Why the hell would I not do that?
Well, of course, and it's really a real estate purchase anyways, because we looked at Kroenke Land last night. We'll watch the Death Star in Vegas. And the more that we know about what happens once you buy a team, it's also building the properties, the land, the investment. That's the star down in Dallas. You'd have to be blind to not understand what real NFL owners are now. They're real estate developers. It's not the good old days where you sat in the stands as a fan and you just wanted to buy an NFL team. It's just gone into a different stratosphere. So Bezos would make a ton of sense. We'll see.
Jay-Z. Don't forget Jay-Z.
Sure. Well, Jay-Z would be a lot of fun.
And Jay-Z makes a lot of sense.
Well, would it? In a more serious tone? Sure. if the NFL can get more minority or any minority ownership, that is a good thing. So it would be a good thing. Bezos and Jay-Z would be great. We would all be happy. Ultimate would
and then Beyonce
bad.
Would be there every time too.
Well, we would have. Dude, I was at the Super Bowl. Oh my God, which one was it? And there were rumors about her lip syncing. So she just stood up there at the press conference at the Super Bowl and just dropped the national anthem. Like she just walked in and just a cappella dropped the national anthem.
Right.
And you're like, well, that doesn't happen every day.
No.
No, she's awesome. No. She's awesome. Okay. Let's get into Teddy Bridgewater. Mr. Chill, Mr. Cool. Man, did he kill it. What a day by Teddy Bridgewater. We'll get into it next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbis here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
It's a Reaction Monday powered by Superbook Sports. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
13 seconds left. Third trip to the red zone. A field goal and a fumble thus far. Fake to Gordon. Bridgewater to the goal line and Patrick. And a touchdown to take the lead for the Broncos. Four-man rush. Bridgewater with the pocket collapsing. Pressure, still on his feet, plates and fires, a leaping catch by KJ Hamler, what a play, improvisational skill from Teddy Bridgewater. Bridgewater keeps, dancing in the backfield, Okereke's got it, stays on his feet, runs for the pylon, touchdown! A second effort on fourth down from Albert Okereke, his second career score.
Yeah, I saw a guy in total control. And when he had to improvise, he did. And some of those were on big, big plays. And he's been doing that his entire career when he's been a player. And he showed it today.
Well, hold on. He hasn't been doing that his entire career. If he was doing that his entire career, he'd still be with Carolina. If he was doing that his entire career, he'd be with the Saints or still with the Vikings. If he was doing that his entire career, he'd be one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL.
You know, you're not wrong. But there's a reason why Carolina paid him. There's a reason why New Orleans picked him up. There's a reason why he was a first rounder for Minnesota. He has done that many times over the course of his career, but he's never done that consistently in his entire career. So you're right. I mean, if he were to have done that on a consistent week in, week out basis, he'd be a top five quarterback. No questions about it. But he has absolutely had plenty of games where he's played at a level like that. The crazy part about it, D-Mac, that game we had yesterday, now you can debate me on this one. I'm honestly open for debate on it.
Okay.
My opinion, that game we saw from Teddy in his first game ever as a Bronco was far and away better than any game we ever had seen from Drew Lock. I'm open for debate. I've got my reasons, and I could go through the two games that are the potential, like the ones that might match. That'd be Houston, and that'd be Carolina. I remember those games rather vividly.
Carolina was pretty good. I'd have to look at the numbers there at Carolina. It felt like that. Listen, I'll give you the Houston one because let's face it, the touchdown pass to Noah Fant, that was like millimeters from being a pick six. There was a bit of luck on that one. And I'll tell you this, Teddy Bridgewater's number could have even been better if KJ Hamler doesn't drop a ball in the end zone that hits him in the chest.
Of course.
They could even be more ostentatious.
Of course. You know, it doesn't matter. We don't have to go back, and it's not about proving Drew isn't the guy or anything. I guess my only point with it, and I do have my reasons why I could break down those games if anybody was intrigued, but my only reason of bringing it up is, like, yeah, we have all been through some stuff, and there's been a lot of emotions that has been tied into this quarterback battle, and there's a lot of fans that have been split right down the middle and really have had a hard time coming around and embracing Teddy Bridgewater. I'll give you this. A lot of people said that after that Houston game, that was, like I asked on Twitter last night, when was the last time you felt this optimistic about a Broncos team? And they said after the Houston game with Drew Lock. Okay, I'll give you that for sure. I'll give you that. But that's what this was. Like, we just had a performance that, in my opinion, was far and away better than anything Drew ever gave. So the type of optimism that we could and that we should have as a fan base right now, Let's go, man. I get it. Yeah, I get it. It was the Giants. I get it. They're not a great team. I get it. We've got the Jets. We've got the Jags. I get it. It's not going to be realistic. And as the season comes on, it's going to get harder and harder. And Teddy has never done this on a consistent basis. Just like you said, mm-hmm. I understand all of that. But you just had the best quarterback performance that you've had in 4 to 5 years from a Denver Broncos quarterback. And if that's not enough to get behind this dude, well, then you just don't want to root for the Broncos anymore.
The Drew train.
I'm not talking to you.
Drew train has gone off the tracks. It's sheltering in place. It's over. You know, that's it. Unless something truly falls apart. I would say, and I'm not trying to pick any arguments here necessarily, but going for it on 3 fourth downs, where in the past it has felt like the Broncos would not have gone for that, all resulted in better production for Teddy Bridgewater. So again, I go to yesterday there was this crazy
trust.
Okay, trust. Change in philosophy based on trust.
Trust, yeah.
So yeah. What would Drew Lock have looked like if he was given the opportunity to connect on fourth downs in any particular game? And I don't know the answer to that.
Well,
but I'm not even trying to make that argument.
No. I get it. I guess my only point would be if Drew were the quarterback yesterday, I'm not going to tell you that they would have gone for it in all those situations because they don't trust him the way that they trust Teddy Bridgewater. So we might not have ever known what he would do in that circumstance. So it's really as simple as this. The head coach believes in his quarterback, so he's being more aggressive.
All right, real quick. The Broncos were losing 7-3 when they went for it. And I still can't believe they did that one, 4th and 2.
Yeah.
You're getting the ball back to start the second half.
Right.
You just punt the ball, put it inside the 10-yard line. The Giants probably take a knee. And you took a risk losing the game at that time that if you don't pick up this first down, the Giants need 2 plays and they're in field goal position. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a crazy risk.
Wow.
I
love it, but wow.
There's a lot of stuff from Josh McDaniels that I've just blacked out, and I'm just like, I try to act like it never existed, but there are a few things that Josh did that taught me things that really, really just caught my attention. One of the most important things to Josh McDaniels in the entire football game was the double score. So you need to finish the first half with the ball in your hands, and you have to score, and then you need to come out in the second half, and you need to score again. So in 2 possessions, you get the double score, and if you get that, he had all these stats that he backed it all up with. If you get that double score, your odds of winning that game were like 88%. So it's one of the most important moments of all of football.
I do want to talk about the broadcast and about Mark Schlereth and the phrase that pays and all that. And also, got some interesting insight today, some inside dope from Vic Fangio about the one touchdown. I mean, forget about the garbage touchdown at the end, but the touchdown earlier in the game, the Giants score, and Pat Surtain's role in it. That is coming up next.
It's a Reaction Monday, powered by Superbook Sports. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
You know, one thing about watching a lot of football, which we all do, is you see a lot of football calls. You see a lot of play-by-play teams and analysts and sideline reporters and all that. I think as sports fans, Tyler, that's all part of our experience. You know, we all watch TV with the sound on.
Yeah.
And, you know,
we probably pay.
Oh, all right. Jeez.
I'm okay. I'm all right. I'm still here.
I could make choking worse than see you in the fourth quarter. Right
Oh, my gosh. How about that? I mean, I was going to leave the show with the fight song and everything.
I
had so many plans. I was at the game. Raj asked me if I'd do a video if they won. Man, I was prepping it. I was getting ready to rock and roll. Oh, talk about an opportunity of a lifetime.
Would they have run on the field had they won the game?
I don't know. I mean, CU fans are notorious for running on the field like any time we win any game.
When was the last time CU beat a top 10?
Well, I can tell you specifically.
Opponent.
I can tell you very, very specifically. The last time, and this is sad, but the last time CU beat a top 10 team was my senior year, 2007. We beat Oklahoma. I believe they're ranked number 3 and 5 in the various polls.
Mm-hmm.
But we took them down, and so it's been a long, long time.
Oh, man.
Okay. Dang it, did they have that game.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't even make a joke about that.
No. It sucked. It just sucked. They were supposed to win it. D-Mac.
It was so close.
We were talking about something before I started coughing.
The play-by-play. Oh. I just want to give Stink, who, you know, I call Island Girl. We have somewhat of a back and forth. I got to tell you, no joke, Mark is as good and as entertaining in that role as anybody I watch on TV. To the degree, honest to God, I really don't understand why he's not a higher profile guy for Fox. And it does make me wonder, will he become a higher profile guy for Fox? Because he's unbelievably entertaining start to finish with the game. There's so much energy and enthusiasm. Well, and I am not lying. I would way rather listen to Joe Buck with Mark Schlereth than Troy Aikman with Joe Buck.
Dude, I feel you. You know, my favorite thing that Mark brings to the broadcast is he brings a little bit of a radio show to the broadcast.
Yes, I love it.
Most broadcasters are so stiff and they're just caught up in the moment and they ride the waves of the emotion. And Mark just kind of talks like he talks. Now, you can feel there's a little more adrenaline for sure. But for the most part, he brings in little sly jokes. He knows how to bring in humor.
It's great.
It's fun, man. He does a fantastic job.
And the phrase that, first of all, like he's got his play-by-play and his sideline reporter all goofing on with him about like man 101 and, you know, this guy had a drill for Teddy Bridgewater's helmet. Every man needs a drill.
Yeah, his producers are all aware that he's got a phrase that pays. So, like, they're aware.
Well, I think they love it.
Yeah, but I just think that's actually amazing that Fox allows him to fit in whatever the phrase that pays that comes from 104.3 The Fan.
Yeah, but the phrase that pays like he used it is so cool because it adds such color and fun to the broadcast. So I'm doing the pregame show with Mike, which we've done that. This is like our 10th year doing that, which is awesome. And I love being on with Mike. And I'm, what's the phrase it pays? And he gives me this, I like to read this Western series. And so the phrase that pays is pull leather. And Mike explained it to me. And I'm like, okay, cool.
You got to explain it to me because I still don't understand the origin of it.
He reads old Western, gunslinger, showdown at the OK Corral type of thing. And pull leather means this guy who's the hero of the Western series.
Pulling guns?
Pulling the gun out of the leather.
Okay.
So here's Mark now.
Be quick with it is what that means.
Yeah. And on this particular play, which was before a huge third down. We talk all about the fourth downs. There were a lot of huge third down conversions by Teddy Bridgewater and the Broncos. But this one, the Giants actually got the better of Teddy, meaning they put immediate pressure and he wasn't really able to get the ball out.
We've got to pressure this guy. We have got to get all the football here. Comes Pepper off the edge.
Yep, bringing pressure. Bridgewater looking to connect with Eric Saubert. Couldn't connect cleanly, but you called for it. There was Peppers.
Well, you got it. You got to do something to get off the field. Here's Peppers coming right off the side here. And, you know, you ever read those old Western books like Old Gunfighter Smoke?
Now, first of all, nobody reads these books except for Mike Evans.
Mark, don't act like you read the book. You didn't read the book.
And Mark hasn't read the book. Mark hasn't read a book since Alaska days. Yeah. And even then is probably a stretch because how many pictures are there in the book?
Well, not enough.
But what is hysterical about this is he's treating this Western series like it's John Grisham.
Love it.
It's Mike Evans finding something at some sort of, you know, Lakewood Library.
Well, he did have to set it up just so that the fans understood at all what he was about to say.
I thought it was hysterical. Here we go.
And, you know, you ever read those old Western books like Old Gunfighter, Smoke Jensen? You don't want the quarterback to be able to clear leather. You don't want him to be able to get that ball out of his hand to throw the football. That time, that pressure created that errant throw, that throwaway right there. And we'll see if they do it on third down again.
That is fantastic.
I'm not going to lie.
That is fantastic.
Like, not only is it fantastic that he's got a phrase that pays and that he actually pays it off every single week, but that actually made him sound smart. Whatever that was, which I have no idea if he used that appropriately or not. If you're listening to that on the broadcast, you're just like, oh, yeah, Mark Schlereth knows what he's talking about there. Sure, yeah, yeah.
No, it's fantastic. By the way, Richie just being a nice guy. He didn't lose anything.
He had a good weekend, man. You know, the odds were with him this weekend.
You want to make 20, 150, ask Richie Carney how to do that.
By the way, that's how you keep the mojo rolling. When, you know, the betting gods are with you, then you got to be generous to others so that they will stay with you. That's what Richie's doing right now.
I mean, that is more deadly than Smoke Jensen and Deadwood.
Wow. I think it made sense.
You got to clear leather.
I think it made sense.
I'm telling you, and I know Mark is not exactly, you know, the youngest guy out there. He's certainly not old, but I hope Mark, I think Mark is brilliant on those games. He is, and I wish we just...
Did he say it right, though?
Because absolutely.
Are you sure?
Oh yeah.
I thought it was
absolutely.
Clear weather.
That's what he said, right? Did he not say clear?
Or pull...
Well, hold on, I gotta get to it. Hold on.
That ball out of his hand to throw the football.
Oh, wait, hold on. Let me go back.
You don't want your quarterback to be able to clear leather. You don't want him to be able to get that ball out of his hand.
Clear leather? No.
Okay. Is it clear leather or pull leather? I don't know. No, the text line's going nuts. They're saying he got it wrong. I don't know.
Oh, because it was supposed to be pull leather.
Right. Right. So, you know, like, does he get credit if he didn't say it appropriately?
Because pull leather is clearing
leather.
Like
you got to pull the leather in order to clear the leather.
Right.
You know?
Right, right, right. Oh, I could see where he messed that up. Mm.
All I know is he sounded like a genius.
Clear leather makes more sense. Pull leather, you're going to have to explain it.
I don't even know what the phrase is. I don't read these alleged Western books.
Oh, text Mike. Did Stink
people
blow it?
People still, like, write Western books?
We could have Mike Evans on. He could tell us all about Smoke Jensen and
clear leather.
What do you mean you have clear leather, Kevin? What does that mean?
According to the dictionary.
No. It's whatever Mike and Mark set up. It doesn't matter what the dictionary says. Right. It's whatever.
Well, we had Mark on the show on Friday, and he told us what it was. I just don't remember if he said clear or pull. I don't know.
I don't either. See if you can get some clarification there from Mike. Mike,
I think
Mike
he wins the spirit. I think he wins the spirit.
Oh, clearly. We're just sitting here telling you how great we thought he was. We're not being critical. It's you nattering nabobs of negativity on the text line.
Whoa. Well done.
Yeah, it's an old Sandy Clough thing. Mile long, 3 inches deep.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I used ubiquitous, just absolutely, I butchered something earlier today.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. All right, I want to get to the and the text line's going off, so we'll check that out. I thought Mark was great. I just thought Mark was great. I thought the broadcast was fun. I thought they kept it very entertaining. And you know, when things were going right for the Giants, Mark was energetic about that too. We have an example of that did go against the Broncos and involved Patrick Surtain. It was very interesting how they used him, Tyler, and we have some clarification about what they were trying to do at least, and it looks like things did not go well for the young man. Details next.
It's a Reaction Monday, powered by Superbook Sports. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
All right, I thought it was interesting about how Patrick Surtain was used, Tyler. He was out there for 16 snaps. That's it.
Yep.
On defense. 16.
That's about what I told you it would be like, man.
Out of 61.
You know, this idea of putting him in there as playing the dime linebacker, covering tight ends. I've been saying that there's very, very few situations that you could actually use that in. It has to be third and long. Like, it can't be third and four. It can't be third and two. Anything that is probably less than 5 yards, teams are going to check into a nickel run. So you can't put him in there. It's got to be third and long, right? And then the other times to pop in is when he's substituting for somebody else or you've got a legit dime package on the field. Just not a lot of them.
Well, let's break this down because nobody tracks like how much you play better than Mike Kliss. And Mike Kliss is our 9 News Broncos insider, brought to you by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Mike, first of all, before we get to Pat Surtain, can you give us the latest with Graham Glasgow and Jerry Jeudy's health updates?
Yes, Graham, started feeling like his heart was racing during the game. It must have been late in the game. He missed just 3 snaps. I assume it was the last 3 snaps of the game or on offense. And they tested him out afterwards. And as a precaution, they took him to the hospital by ambulance. And he stayed and he took the test and he checked out fine. The test all came back fine. He stayed in the hospital. He's now out of the hospital there in the New Jersey area, I believe. And he stayed at the team hotel today. He's resting. And then tomorrow, the team has arranged to have a private plane flying back.
Okay.
You know, he talked to Joe Ellis and George Payton and Vic Fangio, and he'll be back. And he'll go through some more tests, and we'll see. I guess right now, you know, they think he checked out fine, but you got to try to find out what caused what happened. I'm not sure if they set him out against Jacksonville or not. That sounds a little scary to turn him around against Jacksonville, but I'm not an expert on those things. And then Judy took an MRI this morning, and I'm telling you guys, yesterday the team was fearful he was going to be out a lot longer than 4 to 6 weeks, which is now their diagnosis. They thought it was pretty bad. There was all kinds of options they were discussing. You know, the surgery did come up as perhaps a possibility. They have this, Emmanuel Sanders had this deal where there's a procedure where it tightens up the ligaments and works wonders and all that. And, but that's not the case now. It's 4 to 6 weeks. It's rest and recovery. And we'll see if Jerry Jeudy, you know, he really plants that foot on the cuts. You know, if he's going to be able to come back in 4 to 6 weeks, I guess the way he plays, I'm going to think 6 weeks more than four. We'll have to wait and see on that.
Yeah, I mean, I've been down that road with high ankle sprains, and I'm just fearful it's something he'll have to deal with the entirety of the season. But, hey, let's hope I'm wrong. Yeah. Let's hope it's not as bad as what it looked like. What do you think they'll do at the receiver spot? Do you think that, you know, they went a little bit light on that position in the overall 53-man roster. Do you think they'll make any moves, or they'll just rely on Tim Patrick and the guys they got?
Well, they'll have to bring up one of the guys they got on the practice squad. And they got a couple. They had Tyree Cleveland was the one that they protected last week. And that would be the first candidate to come up to the 53. And, I would think Judy would go on IR. There's not, you know, apparently there's – I haven't heard that that's going to happen. It just makes sense for that to happen since that's a three-week minimum stay and his recovery is longer than that. So I would think that's the first one. Seth Williams is back there also. So I would think it's, one of those two guys and Cleveland being the leader to come up. But yeah, Tim Patrick started the season as the number four. It's not a bad number four. And it didn't take long for him to really become a number two. You know, it's a situation. He was a number four, but that's because Hamler is the slot guy is the number three. So Patrick kind of goes from four to that two spot where Judy was. And that's with Sutton being number one.
Nobody is around the team more than you, Mike. What is the difference with this team with Teddy Bridgewater compared to Drew Lock?
Well, decision making, you know, I mean, there's a lot in that. First of all, Bridgewater made sense the minute they got him because of the maturity and that calm presence. He's 28. He's an old soul type of guy. He strikes me as 28, maybe going on, you know, he's got kind of that 40-year-old mature spirit about him. And you have so many pups elsewhere on offense. You know, KJ Hamler and Jerry Jeudy are young guys. Still only 22. Noah Fant, I think, is still only 23. And Albert O is. Lloyd Cushenberry, the center, 23.
Mm-hmm.
Even Cortland Sutton's only 25. You know, it seems like he's been around forever. But, you know, I remember back to when I was 25 and I had a ways to go. And, the maturity scale. And so now I just thought Teddy was a better fit, his demeanor, his personality, for an otherwise young offense where Drew, and this isn't Drew's fault, but he's a young pup too. He's 24 and he's one of the guys, you know, he's kind of friends with everybody, but he's not really the mentor he hangs around with those guys, but he's not really a mentor. It didn't strike me that way anyway. And then the other thing is Teddy just makes quick decisions. He doesn't fool around.
Mm-hmm.
I liked him as a quarterback, you know, based on what I saw of him in Minnesota and then again in the preseason. But to be honest, I didn't think he was that good as he played yesterday. What surprised me about him yesterday was how he escaped some sacks. I mean, what a competitor that guy was on a couple of those plays that he got out of the sack He hung in there and still made a play.
Right.
He didn't make a rush throw, you know, under duress. He made a throw for a first down to Albert O on that third and six. That was huge. I believe that was on the first drive of the second half. And by the way, Colin Heads was a big play in that game. Because they deferred. They wound up with a touchdown going into the half and a touchdown coming out. That, mm-hmm. That's how you draw it up when you win the coin toss. So, you know, he just a fierce competitor, but then off the field, there's a lot of humility in Teddy Bridgewater. You know, he really picks up his teammates. He's a selfless type guy, and I think they're going to play for him. I think they're going to play hard for him all year.
Appreciate it, Mike Kliss, our 9 News Broncos insider. Thank you, Mike. Courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Speaking of young guys, Tyler, Patrick Surtain. So this is Vic Fangio after the game about how they're using Surtain.
Yeah, that was the plan going in. We were going to give him a series in the first half at corner. We were going to do it in the second half, too. But, you know, then the way the game went, the first series, we didn't go out there till about 7-something left in the third quarter. And then we were in the fourth, and we just, you know, let it finish.
So that was last night. Today he even talked more about Surtain in terms of how they're going to use him.
Yeah, we just want him to play some. You know, he's too good of a player to only play in the dime package. So we want to have him ready, and we're grooming him. Not grooming him, but he deserves to play some. So we're going to play him some.
But then he said that Surtain was playing off his man too much. See, I didn't think it was actually on Surtain, but Fangio today said actually it was, that he gave too much room to the man he was covering, and that did result in the one touchdown the Giants had
in the second quarter there.
Yeah.
Why didn't you think that was on him, out of curiosity?
Because the way they talked about it on TV is Stink and his partner isolated.
Oh,
they
to
were
put it on Stink. Well, I see. No, I'm kidding.
I'm explaining why, because they said he said he was playing in a zone. He had drag.
R-E-L-A-X.
He said he had drag coverage, and that he was supposed to be picked up, that Alexander Johnson screwed up by not dropping back into the coverage.
Well, Fangio did not say that today. You know, maybe Sting picked up on something I did not. It looked to me, I went back and watched it because you did tell me earlier today that you wanted to talk about that play. So I went back, watched the game again. We don't have the all 22, but watched the TV copy, and it looked like that was very clear man-to-man coverage. So Alexander Johnson, I was a little bit confused by what Stink said there, because Alexander Johnson's responsibility in that play was Saquon Barkley. So Saquon took a little swing out to the left-hand side there. Alexander bit on it. Now, maybe what Mark was saying is that you shouldn't bite so hard on your responsibility. You should sit in your general area a little bit more before the ball is actually tossed to Saquon. Then you could close on it. Regardless, even if Alexander Johnson stayed back a little bit further, all due respect, my opinion, I don't think there's anything he could have done about that. Absolutely. You know, it's a tough play. Those long crossing routes like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, Chris Harris got beat on that a handful of times over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Those long crossing routes are very, very difficult in man coverage. And if you start from behind, you're just not going to catch up. So he gave too much space. I don't think that there was anything for Alexander Johnson to do in that particular circumstance.
So that was on Surtain then.
It sure looked like it to me.
Yeah, and here's Fangio.
Yeah, he needs to be tighter on that one for sure. We could have helped him out in a couple other instances on that play that would have made that pickup a little easier. But he does have to be tighter on it.
And maybe that's what Stink was referring to. Maybe Vic is referring to Alexander Johnson shouldn't have bit so hard. I do know this, in man-to-man, Alexander Johnson had the running back. The running back took a swing out to the left-hand side, and Alexander Johnson went with him. So I'm not sure what else he was supposed to do.
This is going to be a little tricky then with Patrick Surtain this year, because it's kind of this dichotomy.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of talent, but in order to maximize his talent, he's got to get out there and play and learn somehow. But you're so good in your secondary right now. At what point do you actually want to put somebody out there that's not as experienced as these other guys?
I do think I do think we're really good. I like all of them. But ironically, they all had their moments where they struggled yesterday.
Mm.
All of them. Fuller had his moment. Darby had his moment. And Surtain had his moment. You know, they're all good and be good players. Overall, I think it's a fantastic secondary. But ironically, they each got beat at an individual moment or two throughout that game.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.